Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hook up. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Pete Gray here, along with Rock Cod Rick Mexa and the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here. We have Captain Ken Frankie, the emperor of this whole era here.
Oh, God.
Area. Yeah. From Sport Fishing Association of California, he is the man that helps us get out on the water and gets us fishing for sure. And what a great show and what an incredible prize, thanks to CalStar, that we're giving away today and tomorrow.
Boy, you're not kidding, man. Yes, a great show, lots of fun, lots of great information. If you want to be a part of today's show, man, we want to have you here in the second hour. It's Text the Show, only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app, which is a free download if you don't have it already, and it's the easiest way to listen and participate to Let's Talk Hookup. Send us a text. Make sure you include your name and your phone number along with your text message, because Pete, man, you said it, we are giving away an unbelievable prize. Everybody from today's show who makes it on the air on the phones or has their text read on the air via the app is going to be eligible, along with the callers and texters of tomorrow's show. Again, today the winner, whether it be caller or texter, will be decided by the coin flip. You'll be in the running, have a 50% chance of winning that amazing prize. We'll do the same thing tomorrow. Callers and texters, pick a winner. We'll flip that prize coin one more time, and that person is going to win the brand new GG Series rail rod from CalStar. So excited. You'll be the first guy on your block to have that beautiful 773 extra heavy. Woo. It is state of the art.
An incredible rod. Here it is right here. If you're watching on Facebook and YouTube, look at that rod.
They killed it, man.
Pull on that thing, Ken.
Long extended.
You need the rail for that, man. Especially when you're my age.
A very long extended foregrip so that you can comfortably have that thing on the rail, but have your body in a position back a little farther. And the first looks like probably 10 inches of that grip. They've got that smooth string, so your hypalon's not going to get torn up when you do have it on the rail. Like, basically all the spots that would normally get scuffed on the finish, you now have that protective rail coating on a greatly extended foregrip. It's just it's perfect. They nailed it. I mean, nothing left to say. They killed it.
Yeah, and that's the lighter version of it.
Right.
They have a double XH, too.
Yeah.
Which, that's a badass rod.
And the nice thing, buddy,
when you blend the graphite and the glass together, it's such a perfect marriage.
It's very comfortable, man. Yeah. That was the best part about that rod.
The other thing, too, the price point. You were talking about that.
$450
for that rod. Not $700.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You nailed it, dude. This is going to be the one. We are really excited. It was all smiles in the tackle store yesterday when we were all pulling on that thing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, let's find out what's biting out.
You got it, man. As promised, we're going to continue on with our Ken's Report. And we got today, sponsored in part by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get the premier processing experience. Check out the easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trip. With more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity and the finest in customer service. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or check fishermansprocessing.com and be sure you make those reservations today. We got the man, the private boater buddy, Captain Mark Wiss of Pacific Edge, has got our fishdope.com report. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Ricky, Pete, Ken. Great show. Love all that high-tech information about all our fishes out there. It's amazing. And, Ricky, you know, it's crazy, dude. You deal with this fish and tackle all day, every day. I get that. But the excitement in your voice when you're talking about CalStar fishing poles, it's awesome, buddy.
I like him, man. I'm excited.
Loves what he does.
Yeah, this is a cool one.
Yeah, that's great. Anyway, so, guys, we're working our way through our summer season, you know, and actually it's been pretty darn good fishing here. A lot of fish in a lot of different areas. So I'll take a few of the hot spots here and highlight them. Up north, Santa Cruz, Santa Rosa, like that, the gift that keeps on giving. Still some good hits on the sea bass. Not generally wide open, but a couple of boats yesterday did really well, sea bass and halibut both. Definitely not wide open, but, man, you find that right school, it's game on. But getting windy again, so you might have to take a little break for a little while. There's boats this morning at both Nick and Santa Barbara, and haven't had much in the way of reports from there because of the weather and all the tuna fish getting everybody sidetracked. But it's going to be really interesting to see what they find out there, and especially at Santa Barbara, there's been quite a bit of squid around the island there, mostly on the front side, and be interesting to see how much sea bass and yellows is hanging out with it. Or at Catalina, fun fishing, all the kelp line critters are biting, and a healthy sprinkle of yellows on all the major structure spots, front side and backside. I have not heard much about the sea bass recently. That doesn't mean they're not biting. It just means that I haven't heard anything. So be interesting to see. And then still quite a bit of squid, east end, backside. And that's probably a good place to look for a sea bass if you wanted to catch one. Over at San Clemente Island, first off, guys, check the Navy schedule for closures. They've been busy over there. They've been throwing some guys out. And looks like the next few days there's quite a lot of activity. So definitely got to pay attention to what the Navy's got going on, but pretty good fishing over there. Big yellows and sea bass both on the squid grounds in Pyramid Cove proper and up the back, mostly around Lost Point and then maybe a little bit up to the west there, out by West Cove there, yellows and sea bass on the bait, and then smaller yellows on the front side on the structure spots that are definitely around. And then around Clemente, offshore, this is where it gets really interesting. There's quite a bit of bluefin, and it's actually biting daytime, which is good news, instead of that nighttime-only stuff. With, you know, they're still biting nighttime, but definitely some daytime fishing there. And a little bit more showing on the inside around the 289 yesterday. Some guys had some good fishing on good-grade fish, you know, catchable-sized fish. And that was around the 289, and then some up towards the mackerel bank also. And then the area continues up above the west end of Clemente to the epicenter of the best action the past few days. They've been around that 499 to the snail. Man, they've been biting up there. Some of our customers have just clobbered them, mostly on Mad Max and spreader bars, and then stick baits and poppers when the fish come up foaming. There's been quite a bit of foamers. It's been really good fishing on catchable-sized fish up there. And then a new player showing up. Mentioned it last week. We're starting to see a little bit more marlin. Definitely a decent spread for this time of year. This is the very start of our marlin season. So they're just getting rolling, but stretching from that 267 out in front of Dana over toward the east end, kind of in that band there is where most of it has been. And they'll spread out all over the place as, you know, the season gets going a little bit more. But it's really interesting to see them around. There's already been a handful caught, so that's a good sign. And then it just goes on and on and on.
Isn't it amazing, Mark, that bluefin is back in the same spot it was last year and the year before? It's like it's
that is amazing.
It's right there, right?
Yeah.
In big quantity.
It's right there. Yeah. You know, you guys with the Coronados, I can imagine you can walk from boat to boat down there at the Coronados,
yeah.
I bet.
I was talking to Jamie at Seasons right yesterday. He says it was a bit busy. He counted 175 boats at the lighthouse yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Yes, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Your imagination was definitely correct, but it bit for all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's been so wild about it. The volume of fish has been so good. It's just spiked right through the crowd, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Make sure you have your paperwork when the guys come around, because they're coming around.
That's
no
right.
No doubt about it. And, of course, fishdope.com. Fishdope.com has all the stuff that Mark's talking about and everything else. $30 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW. Lowercase, no space. HOOKUPNOW is your $30 code. Mark, how do we find you?
Well, before I get to that, I got a question for Ken Franke.
Okay, go.
I'm going to make you put, here we go. Put your thinking cap on. This is speculation. I get that. So we've had all this sand bass flush into our area, all up and down the coast, all the way from you guys up to way above where we're at here. And the consensus is migratory fish, because where else would they come from? But if they migrate up and they do their spawning thing, do they turn around and migrate back, or does a lot of that stuff hang out and fill up our local spots and so on and so forth? Any thoughts on what that might be doing there,
yeah,
Ken?
Good question. The sheer volume of fish that was up there this year, I think everybody is assuming that there will be some fish that will stay in the local areas, but I think a good percentage of that fish is going to move off to wherever it comes from, just because, you know, the bait quantity, they're basically looking for food. And those local kelp areas, et cetera, whatever local structure there is, can only handle so much fish as far as being able to support feeding it. So, yeah, I think that just the sheer volume of fish that has moved up along this coast, yeah, a lot of it's going to migrate back, I'm going to guess, to wherever it came from. Because these weren't little fish.
Yeah.
These weren't 14.1. These are 23-inch fish.
Whew!
You know, there was
that was crazy, the grade of fish and how pretty they are, you know, with that real white belly on them, you know. And just so many big ones. God, it was just awesome to see that. My customers love it. So
Yeah, the boys with the sonars, when they were rolling through with the side scans and the up and down meters, like in a number of the areas the last few days, didn't see any bait, didn't see any bass, but when they're rolling through, you'll see them on the sonar when they're moving, and it's evident they're on the hunt. They're looking for food, and then when you get anchored up and they if they go into a spawning behavior, well, then you'll see them top to bottom on the sonar. So, I think we're scratching the surface based on the sonars that I have seen. We're catching the limits and going home, but I think that biomass is doing real well.
All
that's
right.
Great
personally,
to hear.
That's my opinion.
That's great news.
Mark, appreciate the report. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, Pete. We'll see you guys. All take care. Go fishing.
Thanks for that. We have Rosie.
All right.
From Cedro Sport Fishing with our fishing report from Cedro Sport Fishing. What's up, Rosie?
Well, good morning, guys, and good morning to the Emperor. I found you.
God, Pete, look what you've done.
You started it. But you know what? Ken Franke is an amazing ambassador for the Sport Fishing Association of California. He is a wealth of knowledge. And I kind of ran into, for me, it was a pretty big challenge a couple of years ago. And I called Ken Franke, and, you know, he was able to guide me in the right direction to help solve my challenge, and I was extremely appreciative of that. So thank you, Ken. You are so good to all of us. We really do appreciate you. So, well, as you guys know, Bill Varney came back from the Let's Talk hookup trip yesterday. And,
right.
Yes, and they you know, they had a pretty darn good trip. You know, I am very blessed. I listened to the report before me and talking about the weather and the wind and whatnot, and I have to say, down at Cedros, we are so incredibly blessed by the lee of the island and how we are so protected from wind and weather. And it always just always seems to be such good fishing on the lee of the island. And, again, same thing this week. You know, down there by where the salt transport facility is and down in El Moro, you know, the white sea bass, the halibut, the yellowtail, the calicos, they're just – everything's there, and even though we have tons of bait, bait is raining in the water. And
wow.
Those of you that have been to Cedros, you know what I mean when I say the bait is raining in the water. And the birds are going crazy, and the fish are still biting. A lot of the bigger fish are tending to come on yo-yo and dropper loop right now, but we are getting, you know, calico bass. We've had calico bass up to 8 pounds this year.
Nice.
I know. It's just incredible. You know, Cal and Eric Sheets are down at the island right now. And, you know, Eric said that on their first day of fishing, you know, they said the bite was a little bit off. They only got 90 calicos that
day. Oh, darn.
You know, yeah, I know. It's tough. But, you know, as for Cedros, that's off. You know, you should be getting hundreds of calicos in a day. But, you know, their second day they did great. They caught and released many, many yellowtail they kept two white sea bass. And again, back up to hundreds of calicos. So that was just fine. I mean, no one's complaining down there that the bite might be a little bit off because, you know, everyone's still getting limits. It just might take them until 11 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock to get their limit. But, you know, you can catch and release all day long.
So the question is, Rosie, do we have any spots that we can come down and enjoy this amazing fishing at Cedro Sport Fishing?
Yes. I still have some onesie-twosies and maybe a three spot opening up on the beginning of September over Labor Day. I will find out today if those three spots will be open, and I will definitely open them up on the website immediately, okay?
All right.
And, you know, the best thing to do is really to get online. Look at the calendar that we have up there. If you go to the little tab that says book online, our schedule will pop up. You'll see all the spots available. See what goes with your schedule. And then give me a call. Because there's usually lots of questions and answers that are easier to go through over the phone. So our website is sadrosportfishing.com, and my phone number, direct phone number, is 619-772-7570.
God, Rosie, you somehow have a way of, like, turning what you consider, you know, you talked about how, oh, you know, the calico was a little down and the white sheet.
Yeah.
Those are epic reports. That's
and
what
I'm
I love.
Sure Bill Varney will have a pretty good story to tell when he comes back after his trip.
Cedro Sport Fishing is like famous for a fantastic report that somehow Rosie has categorized as slow. I love it, Rosie.
So, it's so challenging because it's like I was telling someone, a father and son came back, and I said, yeah, sounds like the bite was a little bit off, but you still enjoyed yourself. And they looked at me, they go like, but we caught a couple hundred calicos. I pull up my phone. I said, yeah, when you get 401 in a day, that's epic.
Yeah.
So you guys had a great trip.
If this is off, we love it, man. Great job, Rosie, as always. Really enjoy hearing your Cedros reports every week, and we will look forward to hearing another one next Saturday.
You got it, guys. I hope you all have a blessed day.
Thanks,
great
Rosie.
Great job, Rosie.
Appreciate that. You know, before we move on, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that's the wrap-up of our report. Again, brought to us by FishDope.com, sponsored by our friends at Gamakatsu. Man, if you like to fish for tuna and you're not using Gamakatsu hooks, you are missing bites. Their 720 heavy-duty assist hook is our favorite for nighttime jig fishing on full-size knife jig all the way down to tungsten. Also, for bait fishing, nothing beats that Nautilus circle hook. They come in sizes as small as 4s and up to 6-0. And also, don't forget that Nautilus HD when the bait is big. I have to add this on, too, to Gamakatsu. That Gamakatsu Nautilus number 2, which we just had a resupply, and thank God, when the bait is small and you're dealing with, and you don't know if you're going to get chove, you don't know if you're going to get firecracker sardine, please go. I was talking with Gerby from the Royal Star about this yesterday. Go buy a pack or two of those Nautilus number 2 circle hooks and just keep them in your bag.
Right.
Because if you happen to be out on a day where the bait is on the small side, that hook will undoubtedly make a difference. Hopefully you don't need it and you're using your Gamakatsu 2-0 and you got nice big giant sardines. But if you happen to be on a day where the bait's a little on the small side, it is necessity. And that is my favorite small circle hook for tuna. You could fish it on a chove if you needed, or it's great on a firecracker sardine. It's small.
It's low profile, it's strong.
Yes, it is the one.
Yeah, for sure. The Gamakatsu Nautilus circle hook.
Yeah, number
gotta
2.
Get them.
Just have some.
That's the one.
Even if the bait is big on your next trip and you happen to be at the shop, grab a small pack, throw them in your bag so you've got them for the just in case.
Yeah. Hey, I want to talk. A couple weeks ago, we had Anthony from Baker Marine on, and he was talking about all the different binoculars that they have. And see these little guys here? I wanted a pair of travel binoculars that are stabilized.
Yes.
These are not gyro-stabilized. They're stabilized, like the Techno-Stabi. So this is the Baker Marine 14 by 42 stabilized binocular. Their binocular. It's $799. That's their price. And this thing you can hold in one finger.
Holy, exactly.
It's so light. It is so light. And the it's 14 power, just like a big pair of gyros. It's not as stable on the water as the Techno Stabi.
Okay.
But I haven't tested it on the water. I think it's going to be pretty darn stable.
I think so,
because you move around with these things, they're impressive.
See, the problem is you're getting that statement of it's not as good on the water from an Anthony who's used to having the best of everything in the world and it rock steady.
Yeah.
This is still going to be such an unreal. If you're not a person who has got a lot of time in stabilized binoculars, the difference between your regular old set of, you know, 7x50s and then you put these in your hand, it's not even comparable.
Yeah. These are going to Queen Charlotte with me tomorrow.
Ah, cool.
And that's one of the reasons I got them, is to travel with and to take them with me, because, you know, carrying a pair of Techno Stabies or a gyro, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
These, I'm just throwing in my bag. Easy,
yeah, jealous, man.
And
I like those a lot.
Super nice. $7.99 at Baker Marine. Go try. The best thing to do is just go down to Baker Marine Monday through Friday when they're there. 7 to 4, I believe, are their hours. And just go ask them. I want to try the the different types of gyros or the different types of stabilized monoculars and just try a pair of these out. They even have the Fujinon ones that are a little smaller, but they were too small to me. I mean, this thing you can still grab.
And, I like it, man. Go, yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I like them. I can't wait to go slide in on some of the. What are they catching over there?
Yeah.
How big is that king they just
I mean, let's be real. That's a very important part of those things, man. Yeah. They're as good for having an idea of what your buddy's doing as they are about for anything else.
Yeah, for sure. Baker Marine, they're super good people. You have a great text.
I thought so, yeah. This is from John in Rancho San Diego. Says, hey, man, so great to hear from Ken and learn about everything going on with SAC. Ken, can you talk a little bit more about the bluefin tuna sampling project and update us regarding the status of that program? Also, what are your thoughts about the health of the overall bluefin fishery? Thanks for and that was from John.
Okay, statement of fact, it's continuing to improve. We have 14 boats at sea where the crews once a week are pulling the fish. They're measuring the fish, and we have basically the ability now, based on length, to figure out the weight of the fish. Once a week, we average them all up, and then as all the electronic logbooks populate how many fish we catch, we keep track of all of that, and we have a gentleman who goes and tallies it all up so that we can monitor exactly what our impact of the resource is. The reason that is so important is the Tuna Commission and NOAA are overseeing the biomass health, so to speak, and we are so good about, and all our anglers about, reporting our catches, et cetera, that I think everybody's quite comfortable with where we're at. Our impact on the resource, we're the only ones, to my knowledge, doing this. Elsewhere in the Pacific, they're not doing it. But it's because of this close monitoring that we're allowed to continue to fish the way we are. So exciting times. Fishing's great. And I think because of the work that we're doing, it's going to stay that way.
That's awesome.
Another good one here from Bob in Huntington Beach. And I wonder if that's who's.
Could be.
You never know. Good morning. A question for Ken. When studies are done on sand bass migration and other species, are other species also considered, like calico bass, bonito, barracuda, rockfish, are their migrations noted?
Yeah, I think the best way to characterize that is typically when we have a scientist that's on the boat, they're going after one species or similar species like kelp bass and sand bass, what have you. But we're, as an example, going to engage with Northern Baja California's fisheries department. And our goal is to do a tagging project down there. There's been tagging up here. I think we're just continuing to build up the database of information so that we can learn more and more about where fish go and what they do. So we'll call it that. That one's a work in progress.
Okay.
Well said. Good. I love it. Hey, I had another great text here. It says, good morning, everybody. What a great show. Always love it when Ken's on. First, I want to say the SAC website is full of really good information. If you haven't already, I highly suggest checking it out. My question is for Ken. What is the current situation with the CARB initiative? Is it still moving forward? And if so, how is it going to affect our fleet? Also, is the new presidential administration addressing CARB at all? Thanks for everything you do to keep us going. Ralph and Menifee.
A great, great question. A work in progress. We're currently right now doing a survey of all the boats in the fleet to measure how much time do they actually spend in California so that we can quantify exactly what our emissions are, or at least to the best of our ability, and have the best available science to share with the regulators. So I call that a work in progress, and we'll just continue to keep everybody updated as we go. But we have an engineering firm involved. I met last week with the regional director of federal EPA. CARB's, I think we're going to have to continue dialogue with CARB to make sure that our industry remains healthy.
All right. Very good. Well, hey, let's head north right now up to the Queen Charlotte or Haida Gwaii Islands, excuse me, old dog new tricks now, and talk to Valerie Hoprich. Good morning, Valerie.
Good morning, everyone. Hello from Haida Gwaii.
Yes, and our group, our first group with Corey, Master Corey, managing the group there, are there, and how are they doing?
Okay, I just had to call in this morning, a little sneak peek. I'm going to back up to today. we have seen bigger Chinook kings since we opened, more than size-wise, number-wise, than 2019. Amazing. Like, amazing. I'm going to give you yesterday's catch. Are you ready, Pete?
Ready.
Okay. So I went boat by boat. I'm just going to give you, like, the average, like, the biggest Chinook. Everybody limited on Chinook. By the way, you can have two a day.
Two a day up so to four everyone, a year in Canada.
Yeah, four in your box going home.
Wow.
So for your trip. Okay, so we had six boats go out yesterday. I'm not going to tell you whose boat, what, doesn't matter. But our record Chinook, 38 pounds yesterday.
38?
That's a
big
thing. Wow.
That's a nice Chinook. But so we just tallied an average for each boat, what the largest Chinook was. So we had, 38, 28, 25, 26.5, 30, and 26.
Holy mackerel. Those are big kings. Can't wait.
Those are beautiful kings.
Yeah. Now, I understand that the halibut regulation changed this year, too. You can keep one any size. Is that correct?
Not any size.
No, okay.
You can keep one large. One large.
One large. Okay. That's the new
one large.
So what's a large?
Up to 45 pounds.
Okay.
Nice one.
All right.
45 pounds and under.
Cool. And then the lingcod fishing has been off the charts.
Okay,
you said a lot of 50
this?
Pounders?
Yeah, well, Mr. Tom Green's here. I think he knew that.
Oh, yeah.
He pulled in a 50 pound lingcod yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
Jeez.
Oh, it's ginormous.
Wow. That's so
it's
cool.
It's ginormous. So, the report from yesterday on the lingcod, everyone limited out, so you can have three a day. So, everyone got three lingcods yesterday, except for one boat was short of ling. And, of course, I think there's a battle between Nathan's boat and Royce's boat on one gentleman. Don thinks his is bigger than Tom's. So we'll find out what the fish processor has to say about that.
That's cool. Well, that's a great – I know our group is very, very excited about coming up tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow afternoon up in Haida Gwaii. I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Corey's going to call in tomorrow and give us a full wrap-up of all the different fishing that he's doing. But nice little preview there, Valerie, and I can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Yes, I just want to let people know just this – seeing the size of Chinook come back stronger over the last few years, and this year especially, amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Love it. I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic. Looking
see
forward
tomorrow.
To it.
And,
by the way, do you have any spots available this year?
We have a little bit towards the end of our season. Yes.
Okay.
End of our season. Reach out to me. And we are going to announce Corey's dates for next year and your dates. So if anyone interested, please reach out because they're going to go.
They're going to go fast. Yeah, for sure. Okay, again, qcsafaris.com is the website still, right?
Yes.
qcsafaris.com. All right. Haida Gwaii Safaris, formerly Queen Charlotte Safaris, Valerie Hoprich. Thanks for joining us, Valerie. I'll see you tomorrow afternoon.
Gentlemen.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Happy Sunday. See you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate that very much. I had a great text here, and it's a little bit a lengthy text, but it's from somebody who knows kind of what they're talking about here. And it's from Matt in Point Loma, and you probably Ken knows who Matt is. It says, hi, fellas. Thanks for a great show. I dig SAC's advocacy for fishermen and conservation. Decent responsibility for us, us bottom fishermen, especially since we now have expanded depths and old CalCon conservation opportunities. I wanted to highlight another great trend, which is recent North Pacific bluefin tuna stock success. The NMFS working under the IATTC resolution C2402 increased the commercial bluefin quota 80% from the 2025-26 season. It now stands at 1822 metric tons. All of this is possible due to the Tuna Commission's restructuring that occurred in 2012 from 2008 to 2022. The stock has increased from 2% to 20% and is now unfished biomass. What a success story. Explain that all to us, Ken.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, this obviously he's very.
This is an quite accurate.
He knows.
The bottom line is, they're doing a good job managing the resource, and things are coming back strong. Oceanographic conditions are always going to impact things. Mother Nature calls calls King's X on everything, but our actions, our behavior, and how we manage and access resource is instrumental in the overall health of the resource, and we're doing good. Let's just keep going that way.
Yeah, but from 2% to 20% assessment, that's unbelievable.
Well, it's, you know, again, the more I personally think the more data that is put in, the more data resources made available, the more accurate the information. That those numbers are to the best of their, you know, abilities right now, and that's amazing. That's just really
amazing. Impressive
numbers. And there's really good people behind those numbers. The folks at the IATTC and others, they do a good job at monitoring and calculating those assessment processes. So I've talked to a number of them, and I'm just happy to see the resource doing what it is out here locally.
Yeah, well said. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming around, including a lot more great text messages. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California Sport Fishing Voice, on the Let's Talk Hookup app, as well as Facebook and YouTube Live.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja, and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels. With the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities, Van Wormer Resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
Hey, anglers. AFCO Pro Captain Ben Florentino of Coastal Charters here. As a full-time guide, I'm on the water all year long. It's my livelihood. Having the right clothing is of the utmost importance to staying warm, dry, cool, and comfortable to endure whatever the Pacific wants to throw at me. Thankfully, I'm equipped with AFCO clothing to keep me dialed season after season. Do yourself a favor and check out AFCO's award-winning gear at a dealer near you, or learn more at AFCO.com.
Time to talk about great gear from Shimano. And I got to tell you, I walked into Fisherman's Atlantic Tackle the other day, and I went, what is this? The Talica 40 and Talica 50A are here.
Yeah. They're
it's
in
unbelievable.
The case, available right
and
this second.
And what an impressive reel that is. You had an old Talica 50 mm-hmm. out next to the Talica 50A, much smaller, but same line capacity,
yes,
right?
They crushed it, man. The reel has a physically smaller feel in your hand. It's awesome.
Lighter weight.
Increased line capacity. It's got a higher high gear ratio, little differences on the side plate configuration, harness lug placement. They crushed it. It's
and
awesome.
More drag.
It's got the new Infinity drag system. Yeah. I love it. And now the addition of the 40,
the
which
40
is a little bit skinnier.
Huge.
Going to be great for all kinds of things. Deep drop jig fishing for your rail rods. Also placing a frozen flyer from the kite. I love those new reels.
Yeah, check it out at your local Shimano dealer.
Season long range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Andy Case and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3, and you'll be back. Trips go fast. So check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224-3857. The top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaport Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaport Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaport, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full-day trips available. Seaport Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open parties, schedule check seaportlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hook. I'm having such a great time having Ken in here, learning a bunch, great info. The fishing's good, man. Life is just great right now. I love it.
Yeah, and it's time to find out what's biting down in the East Cape. And we have Chris Moyers with Smokey's Curing Company and Cantina with our Baja report. Good morning, Chris.
Buenos dias, Chris.
Pedro, Rick, Ken, buenos dias.
Buenos dias, amigo. How's things in the East Cape?
Oh, man, Pedro, I'm sitting out here on my patio having some coffee with my pops. It's a beautiful day. We've got cloud cover and a nice breeze. Just sitting here listening to the show with pops, man. It's a great day.
Love that.
Hey, Clarence.
That's awesome.
Hey, Pete. How's it going, bud?
Great to hear you, Clarence. So
I got the patriarch here. So anyway, guys, what we got this week, it seems like more of the same. We're coming back from our slow fishing. We've got we're getting back into the tuna. For the better part of the week, you had to go way down south to Vinorama. But yesterday and the last couple of days, 25 miles out, straight out of Los Barriles. So that's a good sign. Another thing, we started seeing a few more Dorado. You know, we've had a really poor Dorado season, but we're starting to get a little bit more of those. And those are more toward the north, up at Bahia Los Sueños over there towards, towards La Paz, but still close, really close to get to. Hugh Wahoo, the marlin fishing was going off again this week. Lots of blues and lots of sails. And so the Bisbee tournament, East Cape Bisbee, just concluded yesterday. I was going to mention that. A total of three qualifying marlin were caught over the 3 days. The first day, there was a 395. Yesterday, the third day, there was a 340. And then right before the scales closed, a 404 came in to take the tourney. I think close to $1 million there.
Wow.
On another interesting thing, you guys know the Valdez brothers at the Spa Buena Vista.
Of course.
Yeah, so Felipe, day one, he brings in a 773 about 30 minutes late after the scales closed.
No!
The biggest fish ever landed during the East Cape tournament, so that was a shame. But you don't
30
you don't,
minutes you don't late. Stuff. That cost him how many millions?
Oh, man, a lot. But he had a good attitude about it. Just he was, they're pretty proud to have caught the biggest one ever. But anyway, so then... Then the Dorado category in the business, I believe a 43 pounder was the one that took it over the 3 days. And then tuna fishing again, we had a 111 and a 108. Ooh. The 111 obviously took that tuna category. So good to see those toads out there, coming back. So, obviously an exciting tournament. And then, still the rooster fish bite over there, between, Cabo Pomo and Lighthouse. And that little bay there, Las Barracas, El Rincon, still producing. The rooster fishing is, again, probably the best rooster fishing we've seen in many, many years. But all in all, I think we're coming back. We're coming back, guys.
Yeah, I talked to Drew from Team No Bananas yesterday, and he was down in the East Cape for the ladies' tournament. And, in fact, part of Team No Bananas, Kathy, got the biggest tuna in the ladies' tournament at Palma. So congratulations,
nice.
Kathy. But Drew was saying they were down in Vinoramas, and the tuna were jumping out of the water. They were everywhere. So good tuna fishing down there.
Yep. Like I said, you got to go. You're almost down. You're almost down to the Gordo Banks down there, but you got to go where the fish are. But it's encouraging. And again, as I said last week, they're close in. Maybe 2 to 4 miles offshore, right there. And then we encountered them yesterday at 25 miles out. So that's a good sign. And, we're hoping that everything starts picking up again.
Yeah, for sure. Well, watch out for Kathy and Drew. They're going to Caidaguay with me tomorrow. So you watch out if Kathy's going to catch that 40-pound Chinook. You watch.
Oh, man. Sounds like fun, yeah. Pedro.
Well, hey, of course. So what's going on Vaquera and at the smokehouse?
Yeah, Vaquera's been fishing a lot lately. They were in the Bisbee tournament. We had clients fishing the Bisbee. And then day one, Diego, he said they released an estimated about 280-pound blue on day one. And, of course, that could mean 250 or 260. Once it got to me, it was probably a little bigger than it actually was. But
yeah.
Anyway, the fish is great on Vaquera. And then Smokies is really hopping at night when the anglers are coming out from the hotel. So everything's going good. The tequila's flowing like leche miel, and we got free beer manana.
Okay.
It's my favorite promotion.
For sure. Hey, how do we find you if we want to book Vaquera or come on down to the East Cape and have you process your fish or just come and have the best food in the East Cape?
Okay, thanks, Pete. We're going to be found at vaquerasportfishing.com. You can reach me at BajaSmokeDog2G@gmail.com or call me at 858-231-1358.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate that. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
All right. Have fun on your trip, bud.
All right. Thanks, cool. Chris. I'll be back.
Take care.
Free beer manana, man. What a great deal that is.
Yeah. Let's go. You have a good text,
I thought so, yeah. It says, good morning, Pete, Rick, and Ken. What a great show. Ken, you need to put your old sport boat hat back on top of your head for this one, and I thought it was fun. With the anchovies now in the mix these days, I was hoping that Ken could discuss the use of circle hooks versus an old school 94-150 bronze J-hook. I'd like to know when to use each. I know both are important at different times. And was wondering if Ken could shed some light on small bait fishing.
I'm gonna turn that over to you, Ricky. Other than to say small bait, small hooks, yeah. But Ricky, expert.
I'm with you. I think that there's, you know, we get bluefin tuna fishing. I think a circle hook should be used at any time possible. They've got a little better, more aggressive set of teeth than a lot of the fish that we catch, and yeah. They are some head shaking SOBs sometimes, and they'll get you, especially when you're having to use lighter line. The one thing I will say though is it is exponentially easier to pin a small bait on with a small J hook than it is with a small circle hook.
The only problem is that sometimes they'll sink straight. And
no doubt.
It is what it is.
Yeah, but and I would say another thing is when it comes to setting your hook, if you were to treat a J hook the same way that you treat a circle hook, a high percentage of time it will wind up in the same spot as a circle hook does. Instead of put your reel into gear and swing for the fence, if you just put your reel into gear and lower your rod tip and turn the handle, a high percentage of times your J hook will find that same little spot. And it's definitely a lot easier to not manipulate your bait too bad when you're trying to pin on a small bait with a small hook.
So are you saying that when you're fishing bluefin you're gonna fish a J hook?
I think like Kenzie, your bait has to dictate
it's
a lot
risky.
Of that. You know,
J hooks, you know, smaller fish it'll handle, yeah. But you start catching bigger fish, J hooks just your risk
yeah.
factor.
You don't know whether it's
going to
be in the corner when it was a circle hook. You know it's going to pretty
but
much 99%
right
of the time
now. So
we
yeah.
have,
but trying to get a small bait on a small J a circle hook, even the Gamakatsu Nautilus, it's tough.
It's tough, yeah, no
yeah,
doubt.
Exactly.
We're fortunately we have Everingham Brothers, so we're just going to know that the best bait that is available on the coast is what we're going to have every day. But I think the savvy guy at this point, there's been enough talk about small bait. You just need to have that backup in your arsenal. Hopefully, you get on the boat and you never need it. But if you get down there and the bait's small, have a little bit of 25-pound fluorocarbon, have a little selection of small hooks, and have a rod that fishes a small bait well just so you're prepared for it.
Yeah. That's important, having the fluorocarbon on that really light line. But, I mean, when we're loading bait at the bait boxes and we're gill netting the bait because it's only 1 inch long, you know, that can be challenging. When I remember that albacore fishing, you know, where we're fishing with tiny, tiny bait.
Yeah.
But, you know, hopefully.
But they still bite it.
Yeah.
Everything eats an anchovy. You said that last weekend on the show.
We're
everything
just fortunate. Everingham Brothers does an amazing job down here for our tuna fleet. So I'm very appreciative of their effort.
Oh, they're the best. Yeah, for sure. Hey, another question along the lines of our prize giveaway today. It says, and it's from Jim in the 805. Good morning, gentlemen. I'm looking for a rail rod for my upcoming trip in August to pair with my Talica 20. Would the new XH CalStar, that's the GG series that we're giving away today, work best rod for that larger reel?
I love it. I mean, the exact rod that we're giving away today was the one that I would pair
the
for.
XH. The
GG 773 extra heavy.
It's 7'3". Mm-hmm. It's a rail rod. It's got the graphite and glass. Price point, unbelievable, $450.
Yeah.
And it would pair perfectly with that tactic.
Yeah, no doubt.
What'd you put, 100 pound on
yeah,
that?
Yeah, put 100 pound, maybe put 100 pound that depth hunter Max Quattro on it, and then just fish a little top shot of whatever is the appropriate line size for what you're doing, and go to work. I love it.
All right. All right, very good. Well, you have a good one, too, for the
I definitely
Emperor, right?
do. It says, hey, Ken, I love everything that Sack is doing. What I wanted to say was I'm a private boater, and although I grew up riding sport boats, I do most of my fishing today on our family's private boat. I wanted to give a big thank you to the amount of work that Ken has done to assist us private boaters, even though we're not putting anything into the fund that you do for the sport boats. All of your help has gone a huge way for us allowing to continue to fish in New Mexico, and I really appreciate it.
And that was very kind words.
That was John in San Diego.
Bottom line, John in San Diego and everybody else, feel free. Go to the SAC website. Get your fishing licenses there. When you're going to Mexico, we're doing our very utmost to have good relations with the Mexican government. And so that's kind of an important thing because the revenue from that goes directly to Mexico fisheries. And, you know, things have gotten better and better. We had Day at the Docks here. I was on the stage with the Secretary of Fisheries of Baja North. When has that ever happened before? So, you know, things are going really well, but, you know, all the anglers out there, even on the private boats, hey, they're potential customers of ours as well. So we're all anglers. We all go fishing.
I just think it's one of the things that you guys don't get. And I'm so stoked, John, and I completely agree with you. And it's one of the things that I just don't think you guys get enough credit for. The amount of work that you put in on behalf of people that aren't even riding the boats. Like you said, everybody rides a sport boat. You know, there's nothing like it. Even if you have your own boat, there's nothing like jumping on a boat and having a cheeseburger and having somebody else clean the boat at the end of the day and having the utmost professionals find the fish where all you get to do is cast your bait and go catch them. But
sure.
I don't think you guys get nearly the credit due on behalf of all of the everybody. You don't just take care of your fleet. You take care of everybody.
I think it's important. It isn't a matter of credit. It's a matter of the end is what justifies what goes on. And everybody's working well together, and that's I think where we get our gratification is when we see everything going smooth.
Earlier we had a text about how great the SAC website is. It's californiasportfishing.org.
Correct.
californiasportfishing.org.
I want to make something simple and easy to find.
It is an absolute portal. You can link it too through the Let's Talk website, the hookup website too on our links page, letstalkup.com. But I use it all the time for purchasing a Mexican license, getting an FMM, looking at Mexican regulations. The Mexico tab is fantastic, right? Edwin does all that, right?
Yeah, Edwin is constantly, daily updating that as things change in Mexico. And I got to tell you, it's important. Like when we go to Mexico City and we're meeting with the Mexican government, they're willing to listen to us about, hey, here's what you can do to improve.
Mm-hmm.
This will increase the number of people using your portal because we're connecting up to their stuff, basically.
Right.
But I think overall, I think they even recognize that one portal is probably a huge revenue source.
For sure.
Totally.
And when things don't work, which often happens, you guys let them know. You're losing revenue.
Yeah.
As soon as we see it, we're trying to get in touch with the Mexican government immediately.
Yeah.
And the ambassador, Kerber Palma, who's in San Diego, she was in our office the other day. We have a good relationship with the Mexican consulate, so we got a great portal for us to contact when we have an issue.
For sure.
That's awesome.
Hey, Mike in Rosemead has a good question here. Good morning, guys. It's been proven that the White Sea Bass Recovery Program works. They're doing a halibut recovery to follow suit. And do the powers that be have their hands full? It's obvious that fish come and go in cycles. It takes years to reappear. Would sand bass hatchery be a feasible thing for the future?
That's funny you say that. I've asked that, too. I that would be an interesting one for sure.
Yeah, right?
That would be a real interesting one because they seem to get real prolific when they want to.
Yeah. You could populate the bays and the inshore, but also offshore spots also. Like, yeah, it'd be really interesting.
We'll have to see what happens with our current project measuring all the fish because we have a lot of shorts being measured. And, I think we just need more information to see if that's warranted or not.
Well, what's interesting, too, this past week, and it's nice to see in the mainstream media that the San Diego Union-Tribune did an article on the halibut hatchery at Hubs, which is pretty interesting. And I guess it's been pretty successful. They just released thousands of them into Mission Bay.
Yeah, I went over there and saw the facilities, and, they seem to, again, be real prolific.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think, genetically, everybody wants to make sure they're not that there's no contamination, no sea illnesses, that type of stuff. But I'm not an expert on that stuff whatsoever.
Yeah.
But
What about their yellow? I know they were trying to raise yellowtail, and it was kind of a thing where they wanted to do like a farming of the yellowtail like they do in Japan. Where are they at with that?
I'd be honest with you, I don't know.
I don't know. We're going to have to get those guys over here and have them talk about that.
been a while since we've had a Mike Shane
update.
Shane.
Yeah,
that'd be
sure.
fun.
Yeah.
Hey, well, I had another real fun text come through. It says, hey, Rick, Ken, and Pete, great show as usual. Ken, I've heard the show many times, and I just wanted to thank you for your years of dedication and support to all of us anglers. I have three questions. One, Ken, how long have you been with SAC? Two, I love the airplane reports. Are you guys still sending up the plane? And lastly, any new regulations coming down the line that are on your radar? And that's from Tony calling us from the 949.
Yeah, Tony, 16 years. And let's see, what was the second?
How many years? And do you guys still send the plane up?
Yeah, we still send the plane up. We typically send the aircraft where there are no boat coverage. But once there's a biomass located, there's no need for a plane beyond that. But, yeah, this season alone, we've sent up the plane a number of times searching just to see, you know, what's going on. And the pilot does a really good job searching all the way down the coast pretty far. So that's worked out real well.
And then the last one was any regulations that you have kind of on your horizon
We'll call that a joint work in progress of NIMS. The council, the Fish and Game Commission, everything is subject to change, but everybody across the board, like I thought, the department did a great job with adjusting the depths to give us the maximum opportunity to go fishing
Absolutely.
Last year. And so we got to make sure everybody realizes they busted their butt. They could have just said, you caught enough, it's closed from this point on. They didn't. They came up with creative ways to work with us so that anglers would still have an opportunity.
Yes.
So, yeah, we'll just call that a work in progress, but a good one.
And they have their hands full, and it kind of lends into this question and kind of answers it, really. Daniel from Santa Barbara says, good morning, gentlemen. Great show. I'm glad we're talking about managing resources. Have slot limits been talked about in certain species like calico bass? Larger breeders produce more eggs and contribute to their strong DNA population.
Yeah, that's come up. The challenge you encounter is with slot limits. It'll be a challenge to fillet fish at sea.
Yeah,
and that's where it gets really complicated because a lot of the ports, when you come into port, you're not allowed to fillet fish at the dock. So you know, most of the ports, the bigger ones, you know, everything has to be filleted outside the entrance to the harbor so that people aren't taking home whole fish. So that's been kind of the challenge that we've encountered when that topic's come up, because we were talking about it with, you know, sand bass, et cetera.
Yeah. Be a hard thing to manage.
It'd be hard, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You know.
Do you have a good one?
I thought so, and this kind of lends itself to what you were talking about at the beginning of the show with when Cameron was saying the things he was. He says, good morning, guys. Great show. I want to say that it's easy to get lost in the sauce with fishing. A lot of us just go without thinking how lucky we are to have this in our backyard. Ken, what are some of the things we can do physically as fishermen that helps us keeping looking good to the outside world? What are some of the things you see people doing that may give us a black eye? That's from Rory in Lake
City. That is the best question I've heard today. Number one, when you see fishing wildlife personnel on the boats and they're doing measuring, please cooperate and do.
Thank them for being there.
Thank them for being there, because their data is what we're going to be studying and deciding to, you know, to implement regulation down the road. Second, if the SAC boats are doing the same thing, cooperate. The other thing is in public hearings or what have you, we need to be professional. There's a good way to approach commissioners, et cetera, and still get your message received. So
yes,
be polite, professional. Also, when wardens are on your boat, polite and professional wins the day.
Absolutely.
So
they're just doing their job, and they're protecting the resource.
And be very careful. Make sure that you don't have over limits and that you're following the regulations.
Right.
Other than that,
you have your licenses in order.
Yeah.
If you're coming back from Mexico, fill out your declaration of entry.
Yeah, be educated to what the rules are and follow the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's key. Yeah, definitely.
I sure thought so. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out what lucky person is in the running for that brand new, amazing CalStar, brand new GGXH rod. We got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook, and YouTube Live. One rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hardworking crew will make your fishing experience one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service sport fishing operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day trips on the spacious and comfortable 85-foot Liberty. With bunks for your comfort, a huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Fisherman's Landing also boasts the best captains and crews in the business, from seasoned veterans to our young future legends. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Pelagic is bringing back the California Tuna Challenge. Get ready for the most exciting tournament to hit the West Coast on August 22nd and 23rd. It's about the fun, it's about the tuna, and it's about your chance to cash in on big prizes. An affordable $500 entry fee per team gets you in. This fun two-day format is open to all Southern California anglers with 3 official weigh stations in San Diego, Newport, and Catalina. Optional jackpots and side bets up to $41,000 all in will raise the stakes for huge cash payouts, including options for Yellowtail and Dorado. The big tuna here. Win some major cash and bragging rights in the ultimate California offshore showdown. Registration is now open. Go to pelagictournaments.com for additional information, rules, and to register for this great fishing event. The Pelagic California Tuna Challenge, August 22nd and 23rd. Just $500 gets your team a shot at the ultimate California tuna bragging rights. Check pelagictournaments.com.
The Ford Summer Sales Event is on at your San Diego County Ford dealers. It's a great time to take a test drive to see what Ford's award-winning lineup of trucks and SUVs has to offer. You'll discover California's best-selling truck brand, Ford F-Series, equipped for anything your demanding job needs or the family vacation you're taking. Check out the Bronco family featuring the iconic Ford Bronco or the versatile Ford Bronco Sport. Both have muscle, tech, and durability needed to go anywhere. Whether it's gas, hybrid, or all-electric, visit your local dealership to find the perfect Ford for you during the Ford Summer Sales Event. The Ford Summer Sales Event is on at your San Diego County Ford dealers. It's a great time to take a test drive to see what Ford's award-winning lineup of trucks and SUVs has to offer. Visit your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Okay, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. It's time. Ken's going to do us the honor.
Flip the old
prize coin here. We'll let her hit the deck and see what we got. Today we have a texter as our winner. Congratulations, Bob in Huntington Beach. So now, Bob, you are in the running with whoever the winner is of tomorrow's show. We will then flip the prize coin one more time, deciding if it's Bob or the other potential to be announced tomorrow. And one of you two is going to be getting that brand new CalStar GG rail rod. Brand new from CalStar.
Yeah, you're going to be the first people on the block to have it.
I got to see it for the first time yesterday. Yeah. I'm already in love with it. So, yeah, one of you guys is going to be real stoked.
Yeah, check it out. Ken, first of all, I want to say how grateful we all are that you're still working. You tried to retire. You tried to retire numerous times, and nobody would let you, especially Frank. Said, no, you can't retire. Yeah. And you deserve to retire, but no, please don't.
Please don't. Yeah, we love you, buddy.
We need you.
I appreciate it. We're a good family down here.
Yes, sir.
We're going to keep working in the right direction. And just anglers out there, this is your chance. Fishing's great. Get on a boat. This is the time to go.
Yeah, well said,
please
buddy.
Do it.
How true is that? Go now.
Again.
Go now.
The Sport Fishing Association website is
CaliforniaSportFishing.org.
Yeah, really great.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a great resource for you.
We try to make it easy. Just go on the homepage. There's a lot of stuff to make it easy to buy Conamp bracelets, fishing licenses, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. Well, so such a great show, and tomorrow. Ricky and I'll be on my way to the show at Safaris, Haida Gwaii Safaris with the group. But tomorrow, Brandon and Ricky will be here with Mike Lum, and they're going to be talking tackle, talking tuna, and also Rollo tomorrow. That's going to be a super fun time, 7 to 9 a.m. tomorrow morning on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan. We'll see you then.